Morning. Week three of Enduring Courage this morning, talking about relational courage. My name is Dave, one of the pastors. A couple months ago, I hadn't seen my wife yet in the morning and went in to say goodbye to her. And she looked at me and she said, "You're wearing that?" You know, sometimes she'll say, "I like that shirt." Other times she'll say, "You're wearing that?" Which is code for, that's a ratty old shirt and you should not go out in public like that. So, but you know, you get attached to some shirts and I've had that shirt for 15 or 16 years and I've still got that shirt in my wardrobe. And another time, I went on a missions trip in college and gone to the Ron John Surf Shop, Cocoa Beach. Anyone been there? So I got a t-shirt there, and it was one of my favorite shirts. And we'd been married just a few years, and we were standing in front of the mirror one morning, and she said, "You should give that shirt to me as a cleaning rag." Mortified, insulted, mysteriously, and I even asked her about it this week. Not long after that t-shirt disappeared. I questioned her. I watched to see what she was cleaning the toilet with, and even to this day, she swears she had nothing to do with it. It's one of those mysteries that will have to wait until heaven. So this morning, our theme is putting off and putting on clothing, metaphorically and just in Christ. The Bible says, put on Christ, put him on as clothing, wear him. And so that's going to be, as we approach the topic of relational courage, putting on Christ is where it begins, and then it works outwardly from there in our relationships with each other. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that through your death, through your resurrection, that we can be born again, that we could put off the old and put on the new. So Lord, help each one of us, Lord, watching online here, Lord, just that we might put you on and know the joy of wearing you in our relationships with others. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So, several years ago, somehow this has survived all these years, my son discovered this in the basement box. This is the jersey of Dave Winters from the Montvale Mustangs. Any guesses as to how old I was when I wore this? Now, I had shoulder pads underneath this. I was Samuel. I was fifth grade, so I think I was 11 years old at that time. So my son started wearing this as his nightshirt, and he wore it to the Turkey Bowl, the Wawasee Bible Turkey Bowl last year, so without shoulder pads. So I saw Charlie Weiland in his uniform last week, and you know, they've come a long way in uniform technology than, you know, the ironing, the iron-on 3-5 there. But hey, first point, new uniform. New uniform if you're following the outline. But whether you're in band or a sports team, there is like, hey, it is so awesome, enjoyable to get a new uniform, new clothing for that matter. You know, what number are you gonna be in? Just to put that new jersey on. And I don't know about you, but like I get a new basketball jersey, football jersey, what do you do? You go home and you look at yourself in the mirror and like see how sharp you look. And so in Christ, in Jesus Christ, you've been given a new uniform. And with that uniform, there's gonna come some new things. But it is a new uniform in Christ. If you haven't turned there, it's in your outline, but Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, open up there. Written to the church of Colossae. Let's take that as written to the church of Wawasee Bible this morning as we look into it. We're starting with verse 5. And it says this: put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So just like an old shirt, the old nature, it needs to be taken off. in order to put on the new uniform, take off idolatry. These five things are identified as idols that want your worship. Sexual immorality, to bow down to it. Impurity, to serve it as an idol, something to be worshiped. I can't live without it. This idol meets all my needs. And there's five listed. And the word here is as strong as you can get. It says, put it to what? Put it to death. Put to death the idol of sexual immorality. Put it to death, the idol of impurity. It means don't, you know, debate it. Don't, you know, put your arm around it for a little bit. Don't play with it for a few seconds and let the poison creep in. It says, kill it, execute it, guillotine it, firing squad. Don't take any time. It's about time. It's about speed. Don't let it creep in. Don't let yourself get infected. Covetousness, kill it. Evil desire, kill it. Passion. These things are deadly. They are fatal. They are idols. They are in opposition to God. It says in strongest word possible, put it to death. Verse 6, on account of these, sexual immorality and people's inclination to worship it, or impurity or passion, covetousness, on account of these, the wrath of God, the justice of God, the holiness of God working itself out, God is only going to take so much, and he's going to cleanse it. He's going to punish it. He's going to render judgment and wrath upon it. In verse 7, in these you, the church, you followers of Christ, you once walked. Once you worshiped and bowed down to sexual immorality like the rest of people, or impurity or covetousness, in these you once walked when you were living in them. In verse 8, but now that you are born again, now that you are in Christ, you must put them all away. So first you have put to death, kill them. And now it says put them all away. And you have five new words: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. First five things, sexual immorality, impurity, can be listed as idols, and they are a rejection of God, a hatred toward God, a thumb in your nose at God. These next five are lovelessness. They are a rejection of loving the men and women around you through anger, through wrath, through malice, through slander, through obscene talk. They are a disregard of loving those around you. So the first one rejects God. The first five reject God. The second five reject other people. It says, put them all away, which means to stow them away, put them in the attic, throw them overboard, get rid of them. Don't tolerate them in your life. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. And the old self could be also be translated old man, old woman, as in the creepy old man or the creepy old woman. It's talking about the sinful nature, that inborn sinful nature of it's me first. I'm on the throne of my life. Life is all about me and my needs, my desires. It's a self-obsession. It's an inclination toward, the sinful nature is inclined toward anger, wrath when you don't get your way. The sinful nature, the old self, is inclined toward malice, slander, obscene talk, sexual immorality, impurity. So to sum up this little passage of taking off the old uniform and putting on the new, three times, put to death, put it away, put it off. Put off the old self with its practices. And a five and five. Verse 10, and now have put on, have clothed yourself, have dressed yourself in the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And have put on the new self, a new you made in righteousness. When you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, you're putting on the new self. It is by faith and then in your will working it out. It starts with just believing that God has forgiven you, that God has cleansed you. A great and awesome and practical prayer is to start your day off and just say, in Jesus' name, I put on the new self. You're feeling that guilt, that shame, that lingering accusation in your heart. Or there's just crazy thoughts in your heart or dark thoughts in your mind. In Jesus' name, by faith, I put on the new self. You know, switching from old self to new self, you can think about a house. One house, you got like, okay, we're gonna paint the shutters green instead of black. And we're gonna put some new fascia on, maybe some new shingles, some new windows. And the other house, like, it's just gone. We're just gonna bulldoze it, bury it, and start from the ground up a new house. Being a follower of Jesus is the bulldozer in the brand new house. Coming to Jesus, we don't say, Jesus, would you paint my shutters, put some new fascia on or anything like that. It's a total reconstruction. The old Dave, the old you has to go. It's Christ doing a total new, everything's new. He puts a new self, new thoughts, new desires, new heart. Everything is new. So again, we're starting on our three. And in verse 10, have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. It's a process, being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The new self is made in the image of your heavenly Father. It says in verse 11, here in this church, in the church of Colossae, and for us, let's just say, here at Wawasee Bible, there's not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. Scythian is a specific barbaric tribe known for their wildness, rowdiness, violence, and just Scythian slave free. But Christ is all and in all. So our application is that at Wawasee Bible and our church family, the single most important thing about each of us is that Christ is in you, that Christ is in me, Christ is your all, Christ is my all. It's not about our economic status, it's not about our vocation, it's not about what town we live in, it's not about our race, it's not about any of those factors. It's about Christ is all. Yes, brother, Christ is all, sister, Christ is all. Christ is our tie that binds us. It's the most important thing about us. When we walk out the door, Christ is all. Tomorrow morning, Christ is all. When you pass from death to from life to death, Christ is all. That is the most important thing about you. In verse 12, put on number two, clothing number two. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, number one, compassionate heart, two, kindness, three, humility, four, meekness or gentleness, power under control, number five, patience. Put on the new self. We got threes and fives this morning. Put on the new self. Put on a new heart. And instead of the five things of anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talking, you have the five things of a compassionate heart, a kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. You say, in Jesus' name, I put off the old self, which is inclined toward anger and malice and slander. In Jesus' name, I put on the new self that is compassionate, that is gentle, that is kind, that is humble, thinking of others first. And I'll get to verse 13, but I'm going to drop down to verse 14. It says, above all these, put on, there's our third put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. It was new because he was saying, it's love other people like I love. Put on love to whether it's bearing with people, whether it's kindness, whether it's compassion, whether it's gentleness. Love is the animating factor. And so your prayer is, Jesus, I put off the old self. I put away anger and malice and slander. I put off those idols and I put on the new self. I put on a heart of love. I put on love. And you might think, okay, so how do I do this? What's the technique? And I wanna say, scripturally, I mean, it's just a matter of by faith stepping into it, praying it, believing it, walking it out. It's something God does to you, whether you may feel it, you may not feel it. But in all my years of ministry, what I've seen is the number one most important thing to be changed, that process or the old self to the new self, is the level of desire. How bad you want it, how desperate you are for change. Are you truly convinced? I cannot go on living under the idolatry of sexual immorality. I cannot go on living under the dominion of my anger or malice. I gotta change. Lord, please, in Jesus' name, I put on the new self. Number one thing I've always seen is just, are you fully convinced that you need a new self, a new Dave, a new Joe, a new whoever? Are you fully convinced and are you desperate and hungry for it? Jesus, I gotta have it. Little illustration, you know, got a laptop from the church and eventually, you know, I see these little things in the right-hand corner like download this and or remind me later. And you know which one, I mean, I'm normally gonna hit. Until the computer, like it's just not working properly. I go to Pastor Josh, this happened a couple times, I think I got it now. I say, hey Josh, laptop's not working. Josh comes in, says, hey, let's check your settings. And he says, Dave, look at that red circle with like, oh, there's like the number 4 there. That's like 4 updates that you're needing. Like, I'm like, oh, is that like all those, like the times that it says, remind me later or restart now? You know, every time I'm going to go like, remind me later. I need a computer that's going to say, your computer's going to blow up unless you update. Then I'll click on it. So as soon as, and this, if you're a Christian, that's a perfect illustration of what it means to walk with Jesus. You and I need a continual update, a continual download of new software. Otherwise, we stop functioning properly. We stop loving. We stop being patient. We stop forgiving. We need a continual download of the new self. It's a process. So keep praying. You know, pray it all the time. I pray it all the time. In Jesus' name, I put off that old self and I put on that new self. And whenever I pray that, I feel something. I mean, I believe something that God is doing, that good work in me. New uniform, new skills. New self, new skills. Still remember, it's like a receivers coach my sophomore year in football who really worked with us, and he drilled it into me. I still kind of see him giving us this drill, and he said, when you catch a football as tight end, get your hands out in front of you. Don't have your hands right here or it's gonna hit you in your pads and bounce to the ground. And so I still laugh today when I see NFL players who are getting paid millions of dollars and they go like this and the ball hits them and it bounces off and they're getting paid big money. But just new skills you learn and do not forget. So let's go back to verse 9. Skill number 1, honesty. Now, when I was looking at this in verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another. I kind of thought, duh. Like, did you take that cookie? No. I saw you take that cookie. No, I didn't. I have you on camera taking that cookie. No, I didn't. But it's more comprehensive than that. If you look at the context and everything around where it says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. The greater sense that it takes in all of deceit, that in this transition, this process of old self putting off wrath and slander to new self putting on righteousness and compassion, don't pretend that you've arrived. Do not lie to each other. Oh, immorality or impurity, I never, ever, ever struggle with that. Do not lie to each other. I never, ever, ever have a covetous thought. I'm never impatient. I'm never unloving. Honesty is always the first step. Whether it's honest, like, Lord, I don't have much love for you right now, or Lord, I can't forgive. I don't feel like I can forgive this person right now. Honesty, honesty. And if we as the people of Jesus Christ can't be honest, who can? The point every Sunday morning or in life groups or wherever is never to say, how are you doing? I'm good. How are you doing? I'm fine. See you next Sunday. You're never going to grow. Honesty is always the first step. Do not lie to each other, meaning do not pretend and act like we're all the finished product. We're not. No matter how good we look on the outside, none of us is the finished product. Give each other a few moments to look into each other's hearts, and we'd all know real clear, real fast, none of us is the finished product. Do not lie to each other. On the positive side, let's be honest with each other. That's the skill. The new self pulls us toward honesty. Honest with God, honest with one another, honest in my church family, honest in my relationships with my brothers and sisters. Enduring courage, relational courage, courage to take a risk and be honest. So with life groups starting up, I mean, as Josh said, you could still talk to me or talk to Josh or get hooked in with a life group. It's the last week we're putting them out there. So honesty, really want to encourage you. I mean, with life groups, we'll just take life groups as an example. And that there's safe Bible study, and then there's honest, risky Bible study. Safe Bible study would be, oh, that's so interesting about how many pharaohs, or I wonder what Paul meant by the third heaven, or it's really interesting that there's a couple, there's three different fives here in Colossians 3, and then there's three things. Yeah, slander's bad. And you can have, Bible study's done. You can have a perfectly safe Bible study. And then you could have maybe a Bible study that's honest and risky, that I hate that Bible verse. It says, bear with one another. I am so impatient, and some people annoy me, so I really struggle with that Bible verse. Oh, put on a compassionate heart. I'll be honest. I mean, that Bible verse really convicts me that I'm tired and I don't have much compassion right now. There's honest, risky Bible study that's, this book is for here and right now. It's living and it's active and it's transforming. A lot of times, I don't really like the word Bible study. Because what do you think of when you hear the word study? That, oh, it's just about being educated. The main point of our book is not education. It is not education, though there's a lot to learn. It's about transformation. It's about us being hammered, chiseled, shaped. The Bible, it's more about Bible transformation. So I just want to encourage us. Honesty is always the first step, and it's a new skill, new uniform. Relational courage, take a risk. And when your life group opens up the Bible this year, let it be honest and risky about it's more than just learning and education. Other thing I really encourage our life groups to do, there's safe prayer time and there's risky prayer time. And there's nothing wrong. Sometimes it's safe prayer time. But you mentioned stuff like, hey, I got a coworker who's, you know, has athlete's foot, or I've got a family member who their marriage is going through a hard time, or hey, the election's coming up. We need to really pray about the election. And everything is there's nothing about what's going on in here, and everything is out there. It's perfectly safe. No one's revealed anything about some of the craziness or the hurt or the pain or the struggle that's going on in here. I really encourage life groups to separate men and women at the end, because there are things I'm never going to say. I'm not going to share in front of women, and I don't want to hear women share in front of me. So I think we all feel safer splitting up, and then just share some of the stuff that you know, if you mention your coworker's marriage, it may be just like, let's pray for Dave to know what to say to help his coworker in his marriage. But share things about, hey, I'm struggling with some of these idols, with some of this anger or malice. That's the whole purpose. So our life groups, that we can be honest about the real things that God's working and shaping in our hearts. So if we can't be honest, we can't grow. Skill number two is patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another. Bearing with meaning to be patient, to persist, to suffer with. And when you have the new self, to walk straight into it. Like, I'm not going to avoid that person who is sometimes very annoying or irritating, but Jesus, help me just to walk right up to them and just to show them love, to look right past the irritating, the annoying, and through the power of God, just to show them some love. Jesus gives you and I the ability to suffer with, to put up with irritating people, annoying people, people get on your nerves, different personality types, through the power of Christ. Bearing with each other, the ability to bear with one another. And I love it that a third skill is right in the same verse, because they're so interchangeable. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I think it's just kind of humorous. Like, God knows us so well. Sometimes they're like, forgiveness and bearing with, you can't separate them. They're like, one day someone may say, man, that person really needs to apologize to you. And you're just like, no, that's every day of my life. That's my life. There's no need for them to apologize. I just bear with them. The next day you're like, they really need to apologize to me. And someone else says, no, come on. Just bear with them. Just suffer along with them. They're really hard to separate. But as human beings, we know that's the real stuff of the hard work of human relationships, even in a church family, even in a marriage, in the closest of families, that there is that element of just putting up with each other, bearing with each other, as well as I gotta forgive. And let's look at the second half of verse 13. What's the standard for our forgiveness? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So we see that according to the Bible, forgiveness is always a choice. No matter our feelings, that forgiveness is a choice of the heart and will. But as the Lord has forgiven you, and that you and I, we swim in an ocean. We're drowning in an ocean of the forgiveness of Jesus. And we can afford to give a few cups of water of forgiveness to someone else through the power of Christ. It's bearing with, it's forgiving each other. You know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, you know that one probably. And in that, Jesus encourages you and me to make forgiveness, asking for it from him and pushing it out toward others, a daily process. You can go to Matthew 6:12, where he says, Lord, forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those who are in debt against us. And then, but the only part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus elaborates on, and it really should jump out to us, is verses 14 and 15, where he says this. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses or sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, without taking too much time, it's not talking about the loss of your salvation. But what it is saying is that there's a serious break with you and God. Holding a grudge in your heart is a serious thing. Refusing to forgive someone is something that's going to destroy immediately, pour cold water on the fire of your relationship with Jesus. But through the new self, if you're saying, Jesus, I put on the new self, you are able to forgive. God's power flows through you. Number four skill, admonishing. Admonishing. Drop down to verse 16, chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So what it's saying in a church family, in Wawasee Bible Church family, it seems we have to have an attitude toward each other of receiving more than just from Pastor Josh on Sunday morning or whoever's preaching or in life group, that there's this element, this culture of teaching and admonishing. Admonishing sounds kind of a strange word, but it's not a strange idea. I'm sure you are familiar with it. Admonishing kind of has two senses. Number one is to encourage or strongly encourage, exhort, challenge. Another has a kind of a negative, just to warn. And I say it's familiar because any type of job, you probably have a boss who has admonished you. Like, hey, he catches you fooling around or you're 5 minutes over your break. Like, hey, get back to work. Or like, hey, there's a deadline. If we don't pick it up a little bit, or come on, you talk like that. Hey, I saw you looking at that screen where the woman wasn't wearing much clothing. I mean, you can't be dabbling in that, where there is a warning part. And that needs to be a natural, healthy, loving part of how we love one another. Now, if you see a little boy or girl playing by the side of the road, is it loving or unloving not to warn them about the traffic? See a little kid in the kitchen and stove burner's on. Is it loving or not loving? Say, hey, be careful. A lot of times people, and they say like, oh, how dare you? You're being judging. You're being unloving. You don't know that. How dare you like talk to them? It's their life. It's their private world. You're being judgmental. You're not being very loving. But we're all in process from the old self to the new self. We need each other to sometimes admonish each other. Like, hey, Dave, you're on the wrong track. Or Dave, you're not seeing this situation correctly. That it is a loving, healthy part. In the same way a sports team or a band, they need to tell each other. What would you think of a football team that they're all laying around and you know, not trying to tackle and like, oh, I don't want to be judgmental and tell them that they need to sprint to chase down the running back of the other team. That'd be ridiculous. So in the church, we also need to say it's healthy for us as the team of Jesus to say, hey, let's pick it up. We can do this. We can go for Jesus. We can chase after Jesus harder. You can, brother, you can overcome your sin. Sister, you're not a slave to that idol. Four things. Our common value, we often talk about in our church families, we all need friends. And we can't all, you know, not every friend is going to do this for us, but I want to say we all need one or two friends. And let's just, at Wawasee, if this is your church home, you need one or two friends, we pray, that you can be honest with and they can be honest with you. Even if it's ugly honesty, because honesty is always the first step toward connecting with Jesus. Need one or two friends that You're bearing with them. They're not like you, but as you bear with them, they help you grow, and that they bear with you. Forgiving, that you're close enough, you spend enough time with each other that, hey, we need to forgive each other every now and then. And admonishing, that you're receptive, you're not defensive. You know, someone can approach you and they know that they're not gonna get blasted or shot out of their seat or admonished double back. I wanna go back to Proverbs 15. I missed a verse I wanted to talk about. But just Proverbs 15 says this, "The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence." And for me personally, when someone gives me a little admonishment, sometimes it takes me like a day, just like an overnighter, just to mull it, to think about it, and to, yeah, you know, I can learn, I can grow from that. I think part of that's true, but just maybe there's a little truth, maybe there's a lot of truth, or maybe it wasn't true, but just taking time. But the point, as followers of Christ, we want to be receptive and approachable. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Enemies don't really care. They don't want the hassle or take a risk. But a real friend will warn you. And now let's go back to, we all need friends. That we want these things to be a part of our friendships here in the commons. I mean, I remember a couple years ago, Randy was here in first service and he made me think of it just like, as I walked into church that morning, I was having a hard time. I said, "Randy, I need you to pray with me right now." And we went in the fellowship hall and prayed. And so, you know, we want, whether it's in the commons, the kids wing, the fellowship hall in here, honesty, admonishing, that it's fine to talk about the Colts or the weather or the Bears or fishing, hunting, but we are here to build each other up, to be honest, to bear with each other, to forgive each other, to admonish each other, to move from the old self to the new self. New uniform, new skills, new depth of thankfulness, new depth of thankfulness. Verse 15, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." I was on 16 there. 15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." So there it's the command, the imperative, be thankful. Now, verse 16, I already said it, where it says, "Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness." So in verse 16, it's just a byproduct. You've rejected the idols, you've put them to death, you've put off the old self, you're putting on the new self, you're putting on a new heart of love. And as a byproduct, there's a song in your heart. You're waking up happy. You're waking up with thankfulness in your heart. It's simply a byproduct. In verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So this is not a contrived or an artificial thanksgiving, but because of the new self, you're putting on the right clothes of your heart. You're taking off the old, ratty, worn out, old self. It's just a natural byproduct of a new depth of thanksgiving. I've often thought, and I thought again, if I was not a Christian, I would not be grateful at all. I'd be thankful to myself or thankful to luck. But as followers of Christ, you know, when you look at the cross, when Jesus, what he's done, new, it's always a new day. It's a solid thanksgiving. It is a real, substantial, life-giving thanksgiving, a deeper level of thanksgiving, both inwardly and it comes out. So in wrapping up, just think about how do you want to apply this message to your life? If nothing else, remember, that is a great prayer just to pray, "In Jesus' name, I put on the new self. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and the worship team's gonna come. Just take a moment just to reflect on God's word to you today, and three things to put on. Just asking God as we go out this morning, just what do you want to be remembering this coming week? Father, in Jesus' name, help us to put to death these idols of the world, sexual immorality, impurity. Lord, help us to put away malice and anger and slander. Help us to put off the old self and to put on the new self. Give us faith to believe that in you, each of us, it's a new day. It's always a new day. It's always a new self, a new download. And create in us, Lord, just that new depth of thankfulness. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.